morning and welcome. Good morning. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called, ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress. Glory be to the Father and to the Son. As it was in the beginning, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. God. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you invite us to trust in you for our salvation. Deal with us not in the severity of your judgment, but with the greatness of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God. He will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. The epistle for this morning is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellency, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we continue kind of with Jesus' parables. He's been speaking a lot of stories to his disciples and the Pharisees about the kingdom of God. And he speaks this one that's a very curious one in many ways, I think we might say, because perhaps of the one guest that was found without wedding garments. And why I say that it's kind of perplexing is, well, where would this man have gotten wedding garments from? After all, didn't we hear that the master sent the servant out into the streets and said, go and invite anyone you come upon to enter into this wedding feast. And they do. And Matthew says, or Jesus says, they invited good and bad alike. And all came. So, where would they have gotten these wedding garments from? Oh, I know, and you've probably heard too, there's the conjecture or the thought, well, back then the host would have provided the wedding garments for his guests. And I'm thinking, well, that sure is a whole lot of guests, and how are you going to provide that many garments? You know, you can look at a parable and you can kind of get all lost in one part of it and miss the whole thing. And I think sometimes we might do that because we also recall what Jesus was saying in the previous parables as well. The parables that remind us that the kingdom of God is really for all people, not just for one nation, for one of the points that Jesus made in his stories. And of course, God's mercy and love is clearly pointed out by our Lord as being part of that story. But when we look at this story, we kind of go, okay, well, the master's God. So why is God upset at this guy? And then, what does he mean by these words? For many are called, but few are chosen. You see, it's kind of perplexing, isn't it? This doesn't fit with what we think of God. On the surface, at least, it seems like it doesn't fit. There was a time I used to be quiet when people would say, well, you know, Jesus was really a master storyteller, and he would tell these stories because it was something the people understood. But the truth is, the parables are perplexing, and they're not always understood, which we come to learn. Yes, the stories are of everyday kind of things that happen around us. But are we catching what Jesus is saying to us? Jesus didn't always really want his audience to understand. Part of the thing of God's message is that it's not always understood by all people. Jesus cautions us often, he who has eyes, you know, kind of look. If you have ears, then hear. He's calling to a deeper meditation, a deeper understanding. Come to grasp the fullness of God's mercy and his love for us. And Jesus is really always pointing to himself as well in these parables, showing how he is the one who fulfills all of Scripture. So what is it we are to learn from this parable? What is it we should take from it and rejoice in? Why is it that we have to be perplexed over something that sounds exciting and good? We hear there's a wedding feast. That's already something people should be overjoyed about. Hey, we hear your son's getting married or your daughter's getting married. Wonderful news. Well, would you like to come to the wedding? Well, yeah, that would be great. That's the kind of response we want to hear, isn't it? Yeah, and don't forget to come to the reception because there's going to be all this wonderful food. We're going to have great food and we're going to have the best wine. There'll be a good band. There'll be dancing. Maybe do the chicken dance. I don't know. We all like to celebrate. We do. We like to celebrate. But in this story, there's very little people who are interested in what this king has to offer. Hey, my son is getting married. Come. Come and celebrate with me. First he asks his friends, probably nobles. That's the kind of people kings associate with, right? Nobles. Nobility. The well-to-do. The kind of people you want to rub shoulders with. Get to know. They help you go places, maybe. So he invites them. And they don't come. They don't want to come. They're not interested. So he invites more. And they don't come. Instead, they go to their businesses. They go back to their farms. They're just going to go ahead and carry on. Now the king's getting really angry. And he sends out troops to kill these murderers, he says, of them. And then he calls his servants and tells them, go out into the streets and invite everyone you come to. Hey, the king is having a celebration. He wants you to come. What? He wants me to come. I live in the street. Yeah, he wants you to come. Why he wants me to come? I don't have anything to wear. Look, I've got rags. Yeah, come on. Come just like you are. The king wants you there. He's got this wonderful feast for you. It's great. There'll be fatted lamb and fatted calves. And oh man, there's going to be so much food. You're going to get so full you won't need to eat for another year. You'll have a good time. Well, yeah. That sounds great. It sounds better than what's going on in my life right now. I'll come. I'll be there. And so the people are there. And they're celebrating. And the king, he comes out and he spies one individual. And he singles him out and he goes to him and asks him the important question. Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. See, I want you to perhaps think of this whole question the king asks for a moment, rather than, well, the man didn't have a wedding garment. That's why the man noticed him. Well, is that... Let's turn the story a little bit different. Let's just say no one had wedding garments on and they're just standing around just as they were as they came. Maybe they have wedding garments. Maybe some of them had some, you know. Brush out the old wedding garments, pull them down, pull out the, you know, the tux that hangs in the closet covered in plastic. People probably don't even do that anymore. I remember my dad had one of those. Tux that hung in the closet with plastic over it. But let's just say he looked a lot like you and me. Just casual. Nothing fancy. And he comes up and he says, how'd you get into here? What if he came up to you today and he said, friend, how did you come to be here? Would you be speechless? I think that's the giving part of the story. He was speechless. He hadn't a clue. He didn't know the answer. He had no idea. These people came and said, hey, there's a place where there's going to be great food. I thought I'd come here and get some good food. I don't know. Because you invited me. Because of your mercy and your grace, your generosity. I'm here because of that. But he had no clue of the king's mercy and love and generosity and how much he wanted people to celebrate with him this great feast of the bridegroom. You see, Jesus is saying that's the way the kingdom of heaven is. God wants all of the people on earth, all humans that he created, all people to come to the wedding feast of his son, the bridegroom. Come and celebrate with me, for this is a joyful time. Come and rejoice with me and be happy. Be glad, because you are invited. And then there's a sad news that Jesus mentions, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. God called his people out of Egypt when they were not his people at all. They were yet not a nation. They were just the descendants of 12 tribes. But they were not yet really a people, not till God took them with his outstretched arm and his might and led them through the wilderness and brought them into that promised land flowing with milk and honey. Not until Mount Sinai really was a moment that it took place on that mountain when God made a covenant with them. Then they became his people. They were already the children of promise, but now they enter into covenant with God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are called. They are chosen. In fact, that's how they are described. They are the chosen ones. But God calls others too to be part of his family. And not all those who are chosen are really aware of what that is all about. And in Jesus' day, there were many hypocrites, which there always are. And there were many self-righteous people, which there always are. There were many who thought they were saved, which there is always that group. Perhaps most people in the world believe they are saved. And a lot of people believe God is a God of love, but if you were to ask them, well, why do you believe you're saved? Well, I don't know. Because God is a God of love. A God of love wouldn't let anyone perish. I'm not saying there's a wrong answer or a right answer. Well, there is, but I remember a long time ago, back in the 70s, a friend of mine, I got in an argument with her, and I guess she was saying, well, and it had to do with my decision really to go into the ministry back when I was in college in Mobile. And we had some theological disagreements about some things. She was charismatic. I wasn't. She was a Pentecostalist, actually, a neo-Pentecostalist. So she asked me, she said, well, if you died today and you went to heaven and Jesus said, why should you come into my heaven? What would your answer be? And I said, because you died for me. She just smiled and she said, well, okay, I guess we'll let you in. And we laughed. But isn't that the answer that the one man needed to say? Because you invited me, because your son has come for us all. Many are called, but few are chosen. You see, many are indeed called, and Jesus came and died for all people. But not all people receive the Lord with joy. Some of them may hear the message and think, well, that's really a good story. Jesus must be a good man. Probably one day I might read more about him. But right now, I've got to get together a report for tomorrow at work. Or I need to go out and plow the fields right now. I don't really have time. See, we always think we have time. And in the parable, the people don't really have time because they're not understanding. This is the bridegroom. He's come back, and basically he is here, and we're having a feast, a wonderful feast, a great party, a great celebration. And the king wants you there. Now, for those who come, they are those who believe what the king is offering. They believe that the bridegroom is their Savior. Because that's what it really gets down to. Jesus is the bridegroom. We, the people that come to this party, are His bride. We're not just guests. We are His bride. We're the one He's marrying. We're the one He gave His life for. We're the ones that have heard and believe. And we want to be there. We want to be there. What bride doesn't want to be with her bride, with her groom? That would be a strange wedding, wouldn't it? That would be a strange relationship. But we are called, we are invited, we are brought forward. We don't have to worry, because you see, that's the other thing that comes up right there is, well, am I okay? Am I all right? Will God say, what are you doing here, friend? Will I be speechless? Will I know what to say? I would say to you, if you had any doubt, you just answered your own question. Yes, you belong. You belong. Because you do know the answer, and you would say it. Because Jesus, that's why I'm here. Because of Him, I am here. I am His wife. He is my husband. I belong here. What good news to know we belong to the Lord. Rejoice and be happy. We are not cast out into outer darkness. We are not judged as being indifferent towards God. We are not judged for unbelief, where we have to worry that an army of angels will gather us up and cast us into eternal darkness. because we know our Savior. We know our Lord. And we rejoice and we look forward to the vision of Isaiah, who saw this wonderful feast in heaven, which you and I will take part in. On that day, Isaiah records for us, on that day, the enemy of all nations will be swallowed up. And what is that enemy? It is death. Death will be swallowed up. The one who came, our groom, our Lord, he came and died so that he could, in the belly of death, swallow up death. With his actions, we have nothing to fear. When we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, there is nothing for us to fear, for our Savior has gone there before us. And we walk behind him, not afraid, but with confidence and hope and trust. Our clothing may look like rags, but your clothing is truly shining bright in heaven because you have been clothed in the righteousness of our Lord. Each and every one of us. And what a splendor you make in heaven. You are the love of God. And he will hold you close to him. He chose you in his Son. Many are called, but few are chosen. That is, there won't be as many people that have existed in the world that will be numbered among those who have turned to God in trust and embraced his Son. When Jesus says few are chosen, that's not because of his will. He calls all people. Let us rejoice, though, and not worry. Rejoice and know you are numbered with the saints. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
invited by your word and encouraged by your promise of mercy, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church, for the leaders of the church, for all pastors and missionaries, for those preparing for church vocations, and for those considering full-time church service, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the blessing of marriage and the faithfulness of husband and wives, for the children entrusted to their care, for the loving care of children who have suffered abuse or neglect, and for those who open their homes to children in foster care, let us pray to the Lord. For a welcoming spirit in our congregation, for boldness in our invitation to those without a church home, and for a willingness to serve our neighbor in need and the stranger whose lives cross our paths, let us pray to the Lord. For compassion toward the sick and those who suffer, for our care of those who need our assistance, for the hospitalized and those recovering, and especially for Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galabias, Jan Johnson, Linda and Leroy Fangmeyer, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Sue Daniels, Jeff McIntyre, Pat Bias, Jackie Rush, Rustin Ray, and those we name in our hearts, that God may grant them healing, comfort, strength, and peace, let us pray to the Lord. For all elected and appointed civil servants, for all judges and magistrates, for all emergency personnel, for all members of the armed forces, and for all of us as citizens and neighbors, let us pray to the Lord. For the dawn of God's eternal day, for an end to death and sorrow, for the comfort of those who grieve, and for the strength of those facing death, let us pray to the Lord. For hearts that burn with desire for the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom without end, let us pray to the Lord. For those preparing for baptism, for the catechumens, and for the places where we gather to teach and learn God's word, let us pray to the Lord. For gratitude in receiving the Lord's gifts and blessings, for generosity in sharing these resources with those in need, and for the tithes and offerings to support the work of the kingdom in this place, let us pray to the Lord. For all those who have suffered loss from the recent hurricane, for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, for those who are trying to figure out how to re-begin their lives to start anew, we pray, Lord, for your love and blessing to be upon them. Lord, in your mercy. For grace that we may hear and heed the invitation of our Lord and joyfully wear the baptismal clothing of His righteousness, Lord, have mercy. All these things, Lord, we pray you to grant us according to your mercy in Jesus Christ and to fill us with contentment that is trusting in your gracious will for all things. Our hearts may enjoy perfect rest and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Are there any announcements? Go ahead.
Well, we'll say happy birthday to Jan. He's celebrating today with his kids. Cheryl.
I'm just going to give a report. Rusty Ray went home from the hospital on Friday. After 3 weeks, he had an infection that had come upon while he was being born. He had a strep infection that his mother had been tested for but had been negative, and then when it came time for birth time, she didn't have enough time. Anyway, it happened, and so that caused a lot of his breathing problems. So anyway, he had to go through a series of antibiotics, and he is doing well. And he's home with his little sister, his big sister Carly, and his mom and dad. His grandmother was still there last time I heard. So anyway, thank you for your prayers, but he's doing well. Your cute little thing, redhead.
We give praise and thanks to the Lord.
Yes, praise be.
Yeah.
And I want to thank everybody for your prayers for me and those of you who were here taking care of me a couple weeks ago. I don't know what I'd do without you.
We don't. We're glad you're here. We thank you.
All right, let's rise and join in singing the closing hymn, 818.
Back. She had surgery over 10 years ago. They had to take pins